racing leader, Sky Sports Radio. It's time for On The Pace.
Gally on Sunset in front of Acacia Ridge. Sundown's Gift going roughly. Sundown's Gift broke up, but it's Gally on Sunset in front, and it'll do it all the way.
Here's Bowtide. Oh, the Tassie Terminator dashes to the lead. It's put pay to them in one fell swoop.
With all the latest harness racing happenings from around New South Wales and across Australasia, here's your host, Gareth Hall.
28 to 11 morning, Gareth. How are you, mate?
Good morning, Cozzy. I'm very well. Great get to get Justin Langer on the show tomorrow. You boys just continue to get the big names week in, week out, day in, day out.
And we're lucky we fluke a winner or two at good odds every now and then too, yeah, which is good.
Geez, I like listening to Shannon Perry. He always tips a couple of winners when he has a chat to you guys.
Yeah, he's very good, Shannon. Always helps us out. And he likes the quartermaster on the last day today.
He does. I already backed it because of that. So I'm on. tab.com.au.
There you go. See, that now officially confirms you are a despot. No,
yes.
You're not.
Yes. Correct.
Good luck.
A man that is flying is Anton Galino here and on the pace. Welcome. And he's a young gun of a trainer based just outside of Ballarat these days. And he took out the New South Wales Oaks with a trotter by the name of Pizza Queen on Saturday night. He joins us on the phone. Good morning to you, Anton.
G'day, Gareth. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. You had three runners in that New South Wales Trotters Oaks at Group 2 level. Pizza Queen was the outsider. Did she surprise you on Saturday night? Because not only did she win, but she smashed an Australasian record.
Well, surprised, but in saying that, she's been good. Like, she was second and third behind Highgate there, her first two starts in the need for speed. She sort of didn't have the greatest preparation heading up to that. She when I brought her down from Sydney, she got a little crook and probably sort of missed a few weeks' work where the others had, a smoother prep. So she was behind the eight ball and I rushed her into that series and sort of flattened her there by come the final time. But in saying that, the last couple of weeks, she's trained real well she hasn't sort of looked fast.
Yeah, and she's beautifully bred too by that wonderful Cy Credit winner, of course, in America. And Pat Driscoll, who owns all of these horses that you train, he's buying some beautifully bred stock, not only here in Australasia but around the world. I think he likes going to France. So the trotting ranks are going to be boosted because of Pat Driscoll, and you must be enjoying training those young stars.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's a privilege, mate, to train these horses for Pat. He does a lot of work to research the horses too, you see a lot of guys sort of come along and spend a lot of money and, don't have much success really. So, he does all the research on the pedigrees and, he's gotten right into that and he deserves the success because he's a super guy. Like I said, it's a privilege to train him for him.
And Pizza Queen's an intriguing runner because you've got a good relationship with trainers all over the world, Anton. If you're just listening, Anton's been a foreman to some of the better stables around the globe in America and, of course, in France and Sweden. But Noel Daly's a man that you're pretty close to, and he actually had a bit to do with picking out this particular filly.
Yeah, definitely. No, Noel's great for me. He's like second father to me. Eight years with him, and he suggested that this filly was in the sale, and he's very close friends with a Finnish fella called Marty Alisapalo, who does all sort of Noel's video sort of research there with the yearlings in the States, and she sort of was a bit of a standout, I guess, on video. He sort of strongly recommended her, and it's worked out well.
It's a small world we live in now. Who would have thought 5 or 6 years ago that we'd be buying trotters from a Harrisburg sale in the United States and they'd be coming over here to race?
It really has. In the modern day, the technology and all that makes it a lot easier. Like I said, we could watch all the videos from Harrisburg and Lexington sales, et cetera, from home. So, like I said, she ticked all the boxes, good pedigree. She had a great video. Confirmation was good. So Pat was good enough to take the punt and buy her, and and it hopefully works out well for him.
In saying that, Anton, you've got horses that have been bred and purchased over in France and Europe and also in America. With the trotting ranks these days in Australia getting bigger and seeing our paces perform like they are doing with that North American breed really hitting their straps over the last decade or so with Better's Delights and Art Majors, how quickly have we caught up to the trotters in Europe? I think we're a bit further back than what we are, say, with the paces in America, but Australasian harness racing might be the strongest in the world, say, in 10 years' time. I think, personally, I would love to hear your opinion that our paces would rival many in North America these days.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, Gareth. And the trotters aren't, you know, believe it or not, they're not that far behind. We just probably lack the pool of horses. You know, you got to remember in France, man, I think they breed around 15,000 horses a year.
Yeah.
So we lack that pool, but the quality has gotten a lot better. And, you know, I think the fact that, you know, we're pretty sort of open-minded here, and a guy like Pat especially, where he sees, a great opportunity to breed the French stallions to the American mares or our mares down here, like a prime example, a horse like Love You, how well he's clicked with the Sundon mares.
Yep.
You know, I think all of his top ones seem to be out of Sundon mares, Mon Bay, Engian, Arbo, etc.
Yeah.
They're all out of Sundon mares, and it just seems to click that cross. And, you know, like, we're lucky that we can do that, and, you know, I think that's why I think, you know, the last probably 5 years, and I think probably for the next 5 or 10, you'll see a lot of the top horses of the world come out of Scandinavia, because they're doing the same thing. You know, I think in France their stud book's closed, so they're not allowed to breed to the American horses, and in America they seem to like to strictly breed to their own, and you know, you've seen horses there now like Sebastian Kay go to America and dominate.
Mm-hmm.
Commander Crow went over there at 11 years old. Won a Breeders' Crown. You know, they're all Franco-American bred horses. And, you know, so I think the fact that we can do that here, we're pretty lucky. And most people are sort of open-minded enough to do it. And I think we'll see the rewards in years to come.
Yeah, you make a very good point there. And just quickly with Pat Driscoll, of course, who he's trained most of his horses there under the Yabby Dam Farms. He's a great man for this sport, because not only is he putting a lot of money in, but having a chat to you, he wants to get other owners part of this game, buying trotters and sharing the success he hopes to have in the future.
For sure. Yeah, no, he's an unbelievably generous guy. Yeah, you know, he's got some really nice horses here, and I think, you know, down the road he'll look at syndicating some, and you know, just for that reason, to get other people involved and you know, let other people experience, yeah, hopefully get a good one. But, you know, he's bred to some, oh, he's got some beautifully bred horses, and yeah, he's trying to get other people involved. So, I think long term, you know, it can be really good for the sport overall.
And just the last one, Anton, you would have stayed with Courchevel for the New South Wales Trotters Derby. Unfortunately, there was only 5 nominations, so that's been scrapped. Just having a chat to the Harness Club there at Menangle, they plan to move that maybe a couple of weeks before the Victoria Derby in Maryborough. Do you think that's the right decision?
Definitely. Yeah, no, like, I've got, like, probably one or two here that you know, I could probably take up for that now. I thought I had one ready for it, but he wasn't. But in saying that, now that's been put back a few weeks, and it just makes sense, you know, a couple of weeks before the Victorian Derby, it makes it a lot easier for us guys to set a program for the horse.
Yep.
You know, if you race, say, this weekend, then you've got you don't have much in between coming up to the Victorian Derby, and it's hard to get them rock hard sort of for it. So, no, I think it's a great move. You know, I actually probably is probably not even a bad long-term thing if down the road, because it just makes sense to be 2 weeks. It's a good gap, and you chip up there, race, come down, and still have plenty of time to get over the run up there and get them ready for the next one.
Okay, mate. Thanks very much for your time. Yep, you're doing a wonderful job, and congratulations winning that Oaks.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Anton Galeno, one of the rising stars, a very good trainer, Cozzy, but especially the job he's doing with the Trotters and the opportunity he's been given by Pat Driscoll, he's making the most of it. The nearly set at Addington favourite here, odds on with Pride at $1.80.
A little bit slow to go there was with Pride, but it gets going now, gets across him down on the inside. Sea Spray also trying to boot up in Crafty Action and Spear Action. Wide out on the track is Gold Star Jagger as they make the first turn. Corborne Dallas back in the field. Getting shot out there was Sea Spray Elsa, also Spear Action and Gold Star Jagger. But this one's off and gone here. With Pride has opened up by 8 lengths. Opawa Alex gets around Crafty Action, but it's game over here. Off it goes. With Pride is going to bolt in. With Pride beat Opawa Alex and Opawa Rob, then Gold Star Jagger, followed over the line by Crafty Action, Spear Action, and Sea Spray Elsa was back there with Corborne Dallas.
7, 6, and 5 there. Number 7 with Pride, 180, 104. 6 Opawa Alex, 330, and 5 Opawa Rob, 460. 7, 6, 5 there, Gareth.
Thanks for that, Cozzy. It was great catching up with Anton Galeno. He's a fascinating man regarding what he's been able to achieve in the small part of his career, and he's a young trainer that earned everything he's been able to get lately, because he did travel around the world and work with Noel Daly and some of the best trainers in the world in France and also Sweden. He's got this setup outside of Ballarat. You have to see to believe. We showed it a little bit on In the Gig one day on a Tuesday night, and he's got this track that's a big straight track. He's got water walkers. It's just state of the art. And Pat Driscoll, who's the biggest owner in the trotting ranks, I think now in Australasia, clearly has been spending a lot of money, but his property's out of this world. And Greg Hayes joins us. And you've known Anton Galeno for a while as well, Hayes. He does deserve every success he gets, and he's been given a wonderful opportunity, and so far he's making the most of it.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth. Oh, there's no doubt. Anton Galeno, the experience that he picked up, especially in his time in France, was, it has set him up so well. You mentioned his relationship with Noel Daly. Wrote a story yesterday that filly that won the Oaks, Pizza Queen, was actually bought out of the Harrisburg sales for Pat through the connection with Noel Daly. So he's got a big network. He does a very good job with his horses, and being a farrier, the shoeing is so important for those trotters. Very rarely do you see one of his horses go up in the air.
In a way, we just had a chat to Anton and Pat Driscoll. What he is doing with the breeding game regarding the trotting, he could, well, change the way the trotting breed is around the globe. Of course, with the French just allowed just to breed with inside France, and the Americans don't usually breed outside of America as well. What Pat Driscoll's been able to do, mainly say with a Love You, teaming up with those Sundon mares, he could be onto something pretty special here.
Yeah, I think you're right. Game changer. You look at the trotting breeding industry, and when you've got guys like Pat Driscoll, Duncan McPherson, Michael Taranto, guys like that in the industry, and they're successful men outside of the industry, they've got a love and a passion for the breeding side of the trotting game. I think our trotting, as an Australian industry as a whole, I think it's in a very good situation, a very good place, and he's going to go a long way in the next few years.
Yeah, I think it's going to get nearly as big, say, I'm just looking ahead maybe in a decade, that it might be as strong as what the paces are, because with the French Association regarding that PMU and how much money, say, HRV has been making with the French betting on the Victorian trots, it could be a stage where the trotting nearly takes over from the paces.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe in Victoria, yeah.
Yeah, look, I don't know if we'll ever get to that stage. I think.
Decade.
Yeah, I think pacing will always remain strong. But I do think it's a part of our industry that will continue to strengthen and continue to become a larger asset. than it is. And, you know, turn the clock back 10 years and you can see where the trotting industry has come in Australia. You know, with the introduction of this international blood, it has just been a huge winner. And, you know, with, you know, international success through Lyle Creek.
Yeah.
And you know...
Keystone Dell's going to... Well, if he gets the invite, which he's $1.10 to do, to go and represent Australia in that international trot in America.
Yeah, and you know, when Kieran Manning was taking Knight Pistol overseas, yep. And, like, it's just got so much better since then. So, you know, I think those people have to be really congratulated, people like Kieran Manning, you know, Anthony Butt, Tim Butt, because... they were the forerunners that really has helped Australian trotting and Australasian trotting, for that matter, go to that next level. And then we've got guys like Driscoll and McPherson and Taranto who are ready to take it to the next level again.
And on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park Menangle, there's some great racing, but I enjoy these country series finals. They're worth $26,000 and it gives the country people a little bit what that Racing New South Wales did with the championship. I know there's a lot more prize money in the gallops, but it gives the trainers in the country something to really target their horses for.
Yeah, and look, I think 9 times out of 10, they're good punting races as well,
yeah.
Because you're bringing horses from different parts of the state together, and therefore, you know, it's hard to line the form up. Some situations you get a horse that, you know, is going around in one of those C1 country finals that you know is going to become a Menangle Metropolitan performer in its career, and it's going to go up very short. But you're right, it allows the country trainers to set their horses for a series, to be rewarded, to make the trip to Sydney, and then to be rewarded if they've got the best one for the prize money. And you can have a look now, their trainers, you know, a guy like Mark Callaghan, who...
Well, he's jumped out of the ground, hasn't he?
He sits down with the calendar and goes, righto, there's a Menangle country series there, where can I qualify my horses? And what, he had four in, you know, the last time there was a country series final in the C1 final, he had four runners. So, you know, trainers now are starting to really warm to them and target them very strongly.
Just quickly, you've got all the latest news on Arms of an Angel. Is she okay? And when we see her back at the races, well, maybe for Lensmith Miles, is that completely ruled out now?
I think that'd be a big ask, because obviously she's after that trial, you know, they've and the virus is obviously concerns. They don't want to tax her too much. Look, I think we'll get a better picture once Shane and Lauren return from overseas.
Yeah.
They get married on the weekend. Obviously, Shane wants to get back and have a good look and check her over, and then a decision will be made what the plans are. Obviously, hugely disappointing to see her go like that in the trial. Obviously, something wasn't right. She didn't look like the same horse that we'd seen compete in the in races like the Chariots of Fire and Miracle Mile. She just wasn't as keen. And for them to say that she's, you know, there are tests to show that she's suffering from a low grade virus, to me, it shows that there was something wrong. So disappointing, but I think the whole situation will be a lot clearer once Lauren and Shane return from Hawaii this weekend.
Yeah, let's hope she's okay. There was even a problem with her liver, but Zach Cornell, having a chat to him, he says she will be okay with treatment, might need a bit of a break, but they'll be looking after her. Thanks for your time, Greg Hayes.
Good as gold.
See you on In the Gig tonight.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yep, that was Greg Hayes there from Harness Racing New South Wales. Well, Arms of an Angel might be out of the jewels, and she was $1.30 to take out that four-year-old mare section, but we still got some good chances, including a very good horse trained by Craig Demler and my Kiwi mate, who will represent this country in the four-year-old division. And Craig joins us on the phone from New Zealand. Thanks for your time, Craig.
Thanks, Gareth.
Mate, he's been in really good form since he's been in great form this campaign. His first up run in Auckland was superb behind Field Marshal when he did all of that work in the breeze, and he never really gave up that fight. In fact, he looked even a winning chance at the top of the stretch in that Taylor Mile. And then his run at his next start behind Field Marshal when he hit the line really strongly was terrific as well. And that, of course, was in the Messenger. So, if he gets a draw at Cambridge, he's going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, I agree, Gareth. Look, that's been our problem all along in these good races, not getting the right draws, and we just got to hope that it can turn around and we can get a good draw. And look, it's going to be still a great race, and you know, it's going to be very hard to take on the Kiwis and beat him. But the way he's been going, I'm wrapped. And in his first run at the Tala Mile, he only got to New Zealand the day before, so that was even more of an encouraging run because you know he didn't have much time to sort of recover from the trip. And then the week later, he flew home and ran second. So it's going to be a big task taking on the Kiwis, but the draw is going to be very important.
Over the mile around Cambridge, he does need to draw nice and close. Would he have enough gate speed to utilise it, you think, if he drew nice and close to the fence to maybe hold the front?
Yeah, look, his gate speed this time in has been terrific. Daddy's led on him a few times, and look, he's been getting out of the gate very quick. And look, if he happens to draw good, yeah, you've got to use that to your own advantage. And look, if we have to, we will, especially around Cambridge for sure.
Just looking at his barrier draws in those big races. You've had no luck, mate. Queensland, I remember that trip behind Meningate a couple of times. His runs were probably the run of the races, but he was drawing out the back in the Colts and Geldings final at the Breeders' Crown. He had no luck either when he finished third. So he does deserve a good draw.
Yeah, for sure, Gareth. Hopefully he can turn. And look, he massive run. And I felt sorry for the horse in the end because some of his runs were just unbelievable. And you know, he's coming from last around Albion Park and running second and running halves in 53.5 or 54 apparently, and that's what they were saying, the clockers were saying. So, look, we know he's got the ability and look, we know how much draws you got, you know, can be very important these days. And, I just feel sorry for the horse because I think he deserves to get some recognition, especially on a lot of his runs in these good races. He's always been the bridesmaid and knowing how hard he tries, and each week he just goes in there and tries his heart out. And, you know, for the horse's sake, he deserves to win a good race, and hopefully it's the jewels.
Totally agree. In harness racing especially, when you have a look at horses' form and see what they've won and the group ones they've won, sometimes horses like a My Kiwi Mate are going better than those horses that have actually had success in Group 1s. But because harness racing, especially with horses, the way if they're up front they can run those times, sometimes it's nearly mission impossible to do what My Kiwi Mate has been doing from those draws and the times he's running. It must get frustrating to you as a trainer when you get the horse in the best possible shape, he performs like he does, but he can't win those big races because he's had no luck.
Yeah, for sure, Gareth. As a trainer, it does get very frustrating. And knowing the horse and the way he is, he's not much to look at. He's the best to hide, and he's only a little thing, but he just got a big heart. And you know, when you put a lot of time and effort into him and seeing how good he's going in himself and especially when he goes away, he seems to go to another level. But it does hurt you to see a horse trying so hard like he does, and like I said before, doesn't get the recognition. And it does get frustrating because horses like him are hard to find, Gareth.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've had a horse as good as this bloke. And, it does hurt you. And you just hopefully that things will, you know, turn around for us. And you know, we've just got to keep being positive. And like we enjoy, like I enjoy going in the big races, but it'll be good to get one of those big ones, you know.
Mate, we'll be cheering here from Australia because we never won a Jules, would you believe? And we thought Arms of an Angel would do it despite where she drew. She looked like she would be the dominant four-year-old mare. But I believe in your fella, and I believe if he does draw inside, some of the bigger guns, especially Timmy Butt's horse and Dexter Dunn's drive that's beat My Kiwi Mate his last couple, it just escapes my mind, that horse. Art Form, is it? Yeah. I think, whatever it is, I'll remember it in a minute, but I reckon you're a big chance, mate, if you draw nicely at Cambridge. So go and get them.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth. We've got another one. Mark found another superstar, I think, because that Titan Banner went super the other day.
Yeah. Geez, he can find him, can't he? I forgot about that.
He's just a freak, Mark, and he just does such a great job with him. And the other horse is Phil Marshall. So, look.
Yeah, Phil Marshall, yeah.
Look, we're just going to hope we can draw in underneath them and then just hopefully we can sit on one of them or if we happen to lead. But I'll leave out the driver. But we just got to hopefully we can, yeah, get a good draw and then go from there. But it's exciting to even come over here and take on these sort of horses, and hopefully I can do the Aussies proud and bring home the first jewels. That'll be great.
Mate, we are sick of the Kiwis coming over here and winning our races, so we need to get one back, so go and get them.
Thanks, Gareth.
That's Craig Demley. Does a really good job with his team, and he's done a wonderful job with my Kiwi mate. And I forgot about Titan Banner. He's run the other day at Addington when he was, well, favours didn't go his way, put it that way, against Chris and me, and he kicked back to beat the champ. So he's going to be hard to beat, and so is Field Marshal, a very good horse for Timmy Budd. Chris Barsby joins us on the phone, the man who is the voice of harness racing in Queensland. Good morning to you, Chris.
Gareth, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone.
You would have seen my Kiwi mate a few times in Brisbane last season. Jeez, he was unlucky.
He certainly was, Gareth. We lured him to the Sunshine State last year. The only thing that kept beating him last year was barrier draws. He just couldn't draw a good gate in any of the features that he contested, but he ran some bottlers. His sectional times were just amazing, and I'm sure if he comes up with a good draw in a couple of weeks at Cambridge, he's going to be thereabouts. Probably not as strong as what we were first thinking as far as a four-year-old division was concerned, but it's still going to be very strong. But he won't be far away, my Kiwi mate.
Queensland, the carnival's not far away, and it is building momentum all of a sudden. A few of the trainers have decided, well, the money there with it going up to $200,000 for that Blacks of Fakes, too good to pass up. And have you got any news on a few of the big guns heading your way? Is Chris and me still there?
At this point, Gareth, Chris and me is confirmed. He took no harm from that run on Saturday in the Winter Cup over at Addington. Although beaten, far from disgraced, his time was terrific. He bedded 4 minutes for the 2 miles and he started off 30 metres. So he's set to go. Of course, he's headed your way to Sydney, where he's going to have a lead-up run, then the Len Smith Mile, and then he's on the road again, travelling north to Brisbane, where he will contest races like the Sunshine Sprint and the $200,000 Blacks of Fake. So he's there. Other big-name horses that are set to come and contest these races include Bling It On, Hector JJ, a horse that you know very well.
Yes.
Most impressive, winning on Saturday night the 4- and 5-year-old championship. David Aiken keen to head north. So there's just a few. We've got some other nice horses headed our way, including Menengate. He's expected to arrive. He's got the Vic Bred Series coming up, so he's not far off. Number of nice three-year-olds from all over the place, Victoria, New South Wales and New Zealand. So there's a number of nice horses. And when you consider the local talent that we have here, yep, I think it augurs well. I think we're set for an exciting time. And the carnival basically starts this Saturday night. We've got Triad Night this Saturday night for the 3- and 4-year-olds. And then it basically rolls right through until the end of July. And with this picket fence promotion on offer, I'm sure there's a lot of trainers and owners that are starting to pay serious attention to it now.
Just explain that picket fence offer.
Basically, what you've got to do, if you've got a horse that you think is good enough to contest one of these big races coming up during the carnival, if you can win 3 races on the bounce, so on the trot, win 2 races, and then win one of these feature races, which are the Blacks of Fake, it's a $50,000 bonus. So if you win 2 races during the time of June 18 to July 16, plus you win the Blacks of Fake, there's an extra $50,000 cash. As far as the 3-year-olds are concerned, if you can win 2 races plus the Queensland Derby, there's a bonus of $20,000 cash. And for the 2-year-olds, if you can win 2 races plus one of the Triad Finals, there's an extra $20,500 there cash going to Winning Connections. So it's a great offer. It's a great concept, I feel. I think it provides, yep, for exciting racing, gets the good horses in the Sunshine State nice and early so they can get settled, acclimatised, and then they can target these good races. So it's good money, good cash money up for grabs here, so hopefully there'll be plenty that certainly target these big races.
That is why Hector JJ's on that first flight to Brisbane, because with that picket fence, it can be one hell of a party if you can pick up an extra $50,000. I've only got a small share in Hector JJ, but that is one of the great carrots why you would want to go up to Brisbane, not only because of the great prize money now on offer, but the sunshine, Chris. So looking forward to it. Thanks for your time. I'll see you Saturday night at Albion Park. Looking forward to that big night for the triads.
Yeah, it should be a great night, Gareth, so we'll see you trackside.
There we go. Chris Barsby there from Queensland. That wraps it up. Cozzy, Addington not far away. Thanks for your company on this Tuesday.
Mate, Green, good to catch up, Gareth. Look forward to seeing you through the week too as well, and talking to you next Tuesday.